Beautiful. Bill, Liz Murrell, the Louisiana Attorney General, joins us. Liz, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be with you, Newell, always.
Thank you. I tried to lay out some of the provisions of what's going on between the state of Louisiana and CVS. It's a very complex issue. But from what I understand, there are three lawsuits that have been filed by your office. If you could kind of lay this out for our listening audience.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the lawsuits relates to the text messaging campaign that was initiated in the last 2 days of session, and that, you know, didn't just involve drawing attention to legislation, which, you know, was still concerning because it looked like they were using customer information to lobby people, to go lobby for them. But it got, you know, exponentially worse when I received text messages from them, because I'm a customer there, that basically said, you know, seniors, veterans, and people with serious health conditions, you might have to pay more for your medication. You might not be able to get it. I mean, it was absolutely intended to scare people and drive them to go fight this legislation on CVS's behalf. And I think that was improper. I think it was deceptive. It certainly was misleading. And, you know, if not outright untruthful. And that's what one of the lawsuits is about. So the second one we filed relates to.
Actually, let me interrupt you. I got one of those text messages and I'm going to read it just so everybody knows exactly what it says. It says CVS Pharmacy, last minute legislation in Louisiana threatens to close your CVS Pharmacy. Your medication costs may go up and your pharmacist may lose their job. Contact your elected officials to protect your access. Send a message at cvs.co/LA. Pretty damning.
So I got, and I got one that, so I got that one. And then I got another one that basically specifically targets seniors, veterans, and people with serious health conditions. And so they went from the one that you got, you know, perhaps they didn't get enough fear and loathing built into, you know, that first one, that they had to go back in and target vulnerable, you know, healthcare populations to try and scare them into reaching out and pressuring the legislature not to do it. And, you know, quite frankly, the only reason CVS would close is because it voluntarily did not like this legislation. That's an entirely voluntary act. So the legislation didn't close CVS pharmacies. It did address this vertical integration structure that they have with their pharmacy benefits managers. And that's the subject of one of the lawsuits. That's really the biggest one of all, because it deals with the antitrust problems that go along with this kind of vertical integration structure. It drives all our costs up. It drives up the cost of the drug, which then drives up costs throughout the entire system. And the only people that profit from it are those that closed, vertically integrated corporation that is just trying to make more and more and more money off the rest of us.
And that's why, just to put it in layman's terms, the formulary, the approved drugs that a lot of these insurance companies approve for their insured, goes right back to the PBM, the negotiations that they have with the manufacturing companies, and that's why it's changing all the time. Interestingly, there's a number of states that don't allow a formulary to change more than once in a set period of time. In some states, I think it's 18 months or 24 months. I don't know how that has worked out in those particular states as it relates to pricing or otherwise, but obviously it was a problem where your medicine's constantly getting changed because of these agreements that they enter into. And I'm not so sure who the ultimate beneficiary of it is. They say it's us, but I'm very skeptical of that.
Well, when you're, you know, I've had that experience too, you know, when my kids were younger, especially it was like ADHD medicine. That was one in particular where I remember going to the pharmacy and the generic was like $1.50 or something like that. And they specifically told me that I was not approved for the generic. I had to buy Concerta, the name brand. And the name brand costs more money. Now, somewhere in the system, it costs more money to get the name brand than it does to get the generic. And so, you know, we've long been filing lawsuits over the manipulation of drug pricing on name brand drugs as it relates to keeping generics out of the market. And, you know, this kind of plays into that system, too. But PBMs have their own kind of particularly pernicious role in driving drug costs up. And this is the third lawsuit that I have filed against PBMs. I already have existing ones against OptumRx and Express Scripts.
Where do we stand with this? I mean, are they going to be brought together in this lawsuit? The practices are relatively the mirror image of one another, right?
Well, I mean, they may be structured a little bit differently. I mean, Express Scripts, I'm not sure, is vertically integrated. Optum, I think, is, they may have some corporate separation, but I think they're owned by United Healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, there are three separate lawsuits. You know, they're in state court. We just don't have the same kind of system that the federal courts do, where you could consolidate cases that have these kind of similar type issues and manage them together for purposes of discovery and other kind of practice before trial. I would like to see that happen in Louisiana. It would certainly be beneficial, I think, to the whole state, because this certainly is something where the activity affects everybody in the state, not just one parish.
Now, you also have a third lawsuit about the harm to independent pharmacies. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so, you know, it was interesting that CVS was coming out with this narrative that this would close down 100 CVS pharmacies. And my response to that was that CVS has already closed over 100 pharmacies. I'm told it's about 160 in the last few years. And they're independent pharmacists because they're driving them out of business. You know, those pharmacists provide an important contribution in our rural communities. If you ever look at a map and what it looks like without them, and it already, these small independent, you know, businesses are going out of business because their pricing keeps getting undercut by a variety of different methods that these big purchasing organizations like CVS and their PBMs use to undercut the recovery of the actual price of the drug that the pharmacist has to pay to keep it in his inventory. So they have all kinds of clawbacks and other types of ways that they try and pull money back. And we have a statute that prohibits that. So not only have I alleged that it's an unfair and deceptive trade practice, but it is expressly contrary to a statute under Title 22 in the insurance code. And they're just doing it anyway, and they've been getting away with it for a couple of years, and we finally said we've had enough.
You know, it's interesting, the medicines that my insurance company doesn't approve, I get those at an independent pharmacy because I just, you know, the folks that work at CVS, those are good folks, but they have all kinds of company rules that come down. For instance, the other day I get a call from CVS and they ask me, why are we getting a prescription for you from a Baton Rouge doctor? I said, well, what difference does it make to you? And they said, well, you know, we had this company policy. I said, well, is he not licensed to be a doctor, a physician in the state of Louisiana? And no, well, he is. I said, so how far from New Orleans does it violate your company policy and set off a red flag? I said, this is not a controlled dangerous substance, medication that I'm receiving. So why is there a red flag now in your system? I said, so where does it end? I mean, so if a doctor from St. Tammany calls in for a Metairie resident, that would red flag in your system? Yes. Slidell? I mean, Slidell from New Orleans is literally almost a baseball throw. That would red flag in your system? Yes. I said,
and
well,
if it's for antibiotics, like, who cares? I mean, if it's for substances, then we do want they've had faced exposure in the opioids litigation.
And that's exactly what they told me.
Right.
They said that's what's stimulating this. I said, well, this isn't opioids. I said, I'm going to an endocrinologist because there's so few here and I can't get in to see one here. I said,
yeah,
you know, it's not like I'm real excited about having to drive to Baton Rouge, but it's the only option I have.
You know? Yeah. Well,
and I just don't understand how y'all don't look at the market and understand, you know, the healthcare delivery here. And you're calling and asking me, you know, these personal questions about why I'm going to a doctor in Baton Rouge. Well, in my view, it's none of your damn business. I'll go where the hell I want to go. You know, and again, it's like I'm not being empowered at all by being able to make the best medical decisions for me. Now, they ultimately cleared it. They've been filling my scripts there for 8 years from this doctor. And it's like, wouldn't that count for something? I mean, but it's an example of how there's corporate policies that don't really align with the everyday practices of healthcare delivery today are problematic for the consumers. I mean, we're always the ones that are taking it into shorts. I mean, we just always. It doesn't make any sense.
That's exactly right. I mean, and we're the ones that are sort of just driving up to pick up your prescription, and then you're baffled by all this red tape, and it doesn't, you know, make any sense. And when you start unraveling what the real reasons are, they're not good reasons. And I'll tell you, these are hard cases to litigate. They are the most obstructive, people to litigate against. They have endless amounts of money. And they will just, you know, block you at every step of the way to avoid creating any transparency on how their pricing works.
Have there been any states that have been successful? I mean, we're not the first, right, to bring these types of lawsuits against these companies.
No, there are other states that are suing the PBMs, and the Federal Trade Commission issued a report last year that excoriated them. I mean, it just took them to the woodhouse. But I think that there is certainly a much more quickly growing focus on the PBMs and their role in our healthcare system. Whereas like 5 years ago, probably nobody ever heard the word PBM. They just didn't know what they were and they didn't know what they did, but they have made themselves conspicuous in this system because of how much money they make. And so it is drawing a lot of attention, even at the Federal Trade Commission. And I believe that we are going to end up seeing some reform, and I think it will be driven a lot by states suing them.
You know, what's interesting is I hear all these anecdotal stories about people getting their medicines outside of the insurance because whatever issues that they're having with pharmacies and otherwise from Canada. And they're paying 25% of what they would pay here in the United States. How do they square that up?
Well, I think that's true in a lot of places. They just pay a lot more money. And again, I mean, that's part of what we're trying to get into with discovery in these cases, is to be able to illustrate more clearly to the public exactly how this is driving our costs up. But at the end of the day, they've exploited loopholes in our system and been able to come in and kind of drive the prices up allegedly through these negotiations. I think the manufacturers benefit from it as well, but the PBMs are really driving the price up and then getting a percentage of that increase. You know, they'll work out some kind of rebate somewhere. Somebody's getting money back. I mean, the PBMs get a piece of it. The pharmaceutical manufacturer gets a piece of it, I think, especially when they drive up the price of the drug itself. The only people who really don't get a piece of it are us.
Us, and you know, I made the observation the other day, the people that work at CVS, they're good people. They're trying to do the right thing. I got a text here from someone that says, Newell, I'm a former pharmacist at CVS. Thanks for addressing the staffing issues at the pharmacies and the stores. We worked our butts off to do the best job we could for our patients, but the company made it impossible and didn't seem to care at all while pretending to have patients as their top priority. I could no longer continue working in that environment after spending years educating myself. you know, you've got all of these folks driving, all these insurance companies driving you to these national chains, and you get there and there's one pharmacist.
Right. I mean, you know,
if I go to my local pharmacy 3 blocks from my house, on average, they have 3 pharmacists there on any given day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something's not right here. Something is just not working. I don't understand. And I don't hold that against the folks that work there. It's not them. It's
no,
their corporate
I don't either.
Policies.
I mean, it's not them. It's just, you know, I think they've restricted hours in some of these places. And they've, you know, those folks, as I see it, every time I walk in there, are extremely overworked.
Well,
you know, but
try this on for
if
size.
If you go to an independent pharmacy, go ahead.
My CVS is closed for lunch. The pharmacy is closed for lunch because there's only one pharmacist.
Yeah.
So they close an hour for lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like my independent, they're not closed for lunch.
I mean, you know, somebody said, you know, well, they're open 24 hours. I'm like, well, the pharmacy's not.
Yeah.
You can buy cereal and wine and beer, but you can't get your prescription filled after a certain time. I mean, it's, you know, so they are not the great customer service representatives that they think they are. When the news over here, local news went out and asked people in CVS's, like, how do you feel? Are you worried if your CVS closed? They're like, no. You know, I mean, I'm not sure they have a whole lot of sympathy from anybody.
Yeah. No, I think this is long overdue, separate and apart from CVS, the whole issue with PBMs is a mystery. And it doesn't seem like anybody's ever been able to pull back the layers of the onion. I mean, you know, from national media outlets that have done stories on it and everything else, investigative journalists looking at it. There always seems to be a major part of the story that's missing.
Yep, that is true.
So next step for you guys, obviously the lawsuit's filed. This will be in the district court in Baton Rouge, I would assume.
I think we filed them in St. Landry Parish, which is kind of central, you know, Louisiana. I can file these lawsuits everywhere because we're everywhere. And I think,
right.
You know, sometimes we just like to spread out a little bit and get outside of East Baton Rouge Parish.
Yeah. So we'll if you would be willing to come back on the show as this thing progresses, because I'm very interested in the outcome of this. And I think our listening audience is very interested in it as well. And I think people thank you for going to the forefront on this issue.
Well, it is always, I think, rewarding to be able to kind of get these companies back in line. There's just so much opportunity in the area of drug pricing. There's so much money to be made in that area nationally. And, you know, we saw during COVID the government just throwing money basically out the window at the federal level, and all kinds of fraud and abuse occurs during that when there's that much money that's out there for grabbing. So I'm happy to talk about it anytime.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Have a great 4th of July weekend. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, that's Liz Muro, Louisiana's Attorney General. We'd love to hear from you, what your thoughts are. 504-260-1870. We've set aside a little time to go to the talk lines when we come back from the break, so stay with us. Give us a shout.